We talked some time ago when you had a showing of your drawings at one of the galleries. I think it was Fifth Street Gallery downtown. And you somewhat jokingly said you made a threat that maybe someday it would become a book. You're making good on it now.
We are. We call it Vanishing Cincinnati. That's kind of a tongue-in-cheek title because, of course, everybody knows the city is not vanishing. But there are some things that are important that are beginning to vanish. And this book is kind of a statement about that and a little bit about the history of some of the more important properties and infrastructure of downtown.
Now, you're from here. You've got a great love of the city. Grew up in Over the Rhine area?
Indeed. I was born in Over the Rhine, a fifth generation Over the Rhine. And my wife, Barbara, was fourth generation in Clifton. We met when we were children.
When did you decide to start making these beautiful drawings?
We got serious in the 90s. There are some of the drawings that are older than that. And a lot of them stem from trying to show our clients and the contractors how to restore buildings downtown. We were hired by real estate firms to restore the buildings they had just bought. Our best way of communicating was visually, not verbally. And so we made handmade freehand drawings of the buildings and drew them the way they used to look and, in a sense, educate them. Then when they approved of that, they got in the hands of the contractors. And that was a good protocol for them to follow. They knew where they were going when they saw our drawings.
Drew them the way they used to look, which meant you had your work cut out for you.
Right, we
researching.
Did. When we restored the old Enquire building on Vine, they very kindly let us go into their archives. Boy, that was a nice treat in a way. We got to see how the building looked and a lot of things about the old drawings. Lockwood and Green were the architects, and we kind of followed pretty much what they had. The people who owned the building at the time didn't know that. So we were showing them what they really bought. And there you go. I go to our contractors years later, and I find some of our drawings pasted up on the wall, and they were displaying them as art. Fancy that.
Barbara, have you a favorite study or a favorite drawing that's appearing in the book?
Not really, but I like the City Hall because of the details that David put in them. There's some interesting things in there, including a policeman on horseback and a black dog. Always added black dogs because we like black dogs. We don't own a black dog, but we like black dogs.
That's the present-day City Hall?
It is. It's the one where the principal offices are today, yes. Mm-hmm. There was one before that on the same property, and we explain that in the book. And actually, we don't explain it. We show it.
Present-day one designed by Samuel Hanifer.
Samuel Hanifer.
Now, I'm kind of hung up on him, but is there a more prominent 19th century architect within the city?
The word prominent sticks in my throat a little bit. I think there was one better, so my own personal view.
Maybe I should say prolific.
Sam was really the most prolific because he was politically connected. He and Boss Cox got along quite well. But I think there was another architect, James McLaughlin, who perhaps was more aesthetic, and he designed the Art Museum, for instance, and the wonderful stone bridge that went across the Eden Park entrance. He had many projects in downtown Cincinnati and elsewhere, but Sam Hanifer and his sons kind of always beat him out when it came to those political contracts.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you the same question I asked Barbara. Is there something that sticks out to you as a boy?
Ooh,
I just love working on this.
Yeah, actually two things, if I may. One of them is Hughes High School, and the other is the Over the Rhine Bell Tower. Why Hughes High School? Because, number one, it's a success story. It was recently restored back to its wonderful self. We're kind of partial. Barbara and I both went to Hughes, and we became friends with all those some 100, we used to call them gargoyles, but they're really grotesques that are on the building. And they all mean something. And the book shows what they meant. And these are life-size figures on that building. The other piece is the Over the Rhine Tower. Now, we designed that, and we worked with the contractors to have it built, and we actually got the Verdon Company to help us find the money to put that up.
Now, you're talking about the one at Liberty,
Liberty and Reading. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. There's 19 bells in that tower, and each bell represents a cultural group that moved into and eventually out of Over the Rhine over the past 150 years. That's pretty significant, we think. And we've gotten a lot of good feedback from that, people passing by it. 35, 40, and sometimes 45 miles an hour on Reading Road, even though they're not supposed to, mm-hmm. but they do see that, and we've had reports about that.
Talking with Barbara and David Day, and the book is Vanishing Cincinnati, due out very, very shortly. Where did you start on this? You have had these hundreds and hundreds of drawings, and you wanted to make a book. What's the starting point?
It was probably 2 or 3 years ago we really started in earnest to work toward putting this together in a book. And I say we, because Barbara and I both work on this. Our design backgrounds are identical. She's an interior designer, I'm an industrial designer. And between the two of us, we can get in one hell of a lot of trouble.
And we oftentimes do.
Yes, I guess about 2 years ago, even before that, people were saying, David, you got to put these things in a book. Well, yeah, easy to say, more difficult to do. We didn't have the money to do that. And if I may say, the Otto M. Budding organization made us responsible that we could do this, or we would not have been able to. We put a little of our own money in. Actually, to us, it was a lot of money, but we think it's worth it. We won't have a future here, but we don't care. We kind of owed that to the city in a way, because downtown has been our bread and butter all these years in restoring these mm-hmm. buildings.
Mm-hmm. When you were talking about the Enquirer building earlier, you said talking about buildings the way they used to be. Not only buildings, but I'm struck by a photo here, and I've heard and I've read about Deer Creek that was basically where the Gilbert and Reading Road exits come off 71 now, mm-hmm. that basin area there kind of across from the Elsinore Tower. There is a beautiful, beautiful photo, I guess, in this book.
You like that?
Of the Deer Creek Commons, and yeah. It just gives me chills to look at. I've never, ever seen anything like that before. I've always tried to imagine what that looked like.
You see the guys on the boxcars watching the baseball game?
Yeah.
Yeah, there it is. Okay.
They're playing ball right
well,
there.
Well, that used to be a very deep valley, Deer Creek, in fact. And over the years, I think we're talking about 1850-ish, three railroads went bankrupt trying to make a railroad go up that valley with a long inclined tunnel way up to the top of Walnut Hills. Mm-hmm. And they couldn't do it. And finally, the next railroad, the Cincinnati, Lebanon, and Northern, CLNN, was able to achieve that. And they did make that tunnel up.
And that remnants of the
actually,
tunnel is still there.
What we heard was the way they did it at the hardest part is they dug a big channel in the ground and then filled it back over again. And that's Walnut Hills when you fill it back over the top. It was the only railroad during the two worst floods in Cincinnati that was able to go to downtown Cincinnati. During the 37 flood, and they brought a passenger train down that hill backwards to bring people and supplies into the city.
How do you decide where to begin the book? How do you decide what to end with?
You have to turn to we call it the round table of contents at the very beginning. Then you'll get to see the pattern, because the book is entirely drawings and photographs and captions. There's no body or text to the book.
Except the foreword.
Well, the foreword is there by Owen Fenson, yes. But when you look at the map, it's a hand-drawn map over there, and you see this big puff of air coming up from the west. That's Aristotle Zephyr. That's that wind's name. And we call him Ari for short. And he blows wind up the Ohio River. But as you can see, it goes around in a spiral. And if you follow that spiral around, you'll see that there's numbers in that map, and each number represents one of the sites that's in the book. And it ends up getting smaller and smaller in the center of the spiral, and that's Fountain Square and the Tyler Davison Fountain at the very end of the book.
So there is a method.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for this. I really look forward to having a copy in my own hands. It's called Vanishing Cincinnati. Barbara and David Day have put it together, and it is gorgeous. Thank you so much for visiting with us.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
For Around Cincinnati, I'm Brian O'Donnell.